ask this question before. When was the last time you played with Play-Doh? When was the last time you did that? I imagine it may have been quite a while, unless you have some preschoolers in your home. As all parents know, young children love Play-Doh. Why? Because they can make almost anything with it. When it first comes out of the can, the Play-Doh feels cold, and it feels clammy, and it feels mushy. It's bendable. It's easy to make into a thousand different shapes. You can take Play-Doh and make a little baseball with it. Or you can make it flat like a pie crust. If you like, you can roll it and make it into a baseball bat. Or you can take that little thing that looks like a bat and you can bend it into the shape of a little horse. And then you can turn that horse into a rabbit or a pig, depending on how fat you want to make that. You can do anything you like. When the Play-Doh is what? Soft. Soft. What happens when you leave it out for 3 or 4 days? It dries up. It becomes hard. It becomes brittle. And when you try to shape it, you can't, because it's not soft anymore. Did you know there are many Christians who are like that before the Lord? There are local churches that are like that too. They're hard. They're brittle. They're unbendable. They're set in their ways. They have their own plans. They have their own agendas. They have their own desires. And friends, that happens in the church world far too often. That's why many Christians flounder in their walk with God. That's why many churches flounder and never seem to really discover God's plan and God's purpose for them as a body of believers. They often remain stagnant. They don't seem to be moving forward. Wondering why they aren't experiencing God's blessing as they so much desire for that to happen. It's often because they're stuck in their ways. Christians who are like that and churches that are like that wonder why in the world guidance is so hard to find. It's really not hard to understand when you really think about it for a moment. When your life becomes hard, when your life becomes brittle before the Lord, or when the church becomes stuck in their old ways, see, God speaks, but He's not heard. He leads, but He isn't followed. He opens doors, but hard people refuse to enter. That's why there is no principle more important than the principle of being willing to be guided. So important. To be open to change. Change that is for the better of the kingdom of God. Change that God would have that church to do or that person to do in order to grow and to move forward the way He would want them to. For that to happen, we need to become soft. Bendable in the hands of Almighty God. So He can shape us. So He can shape the local church the way He so desires it to be shaped. We find many examples of individuals being soft and bendable in the Bible. A number come to my mind. First one is found in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. I want you to know what Samuel says to God. He says, "Speak, for your servant is all ears." He's listening. Another great example is found in Psalm 27 and verse 11. And here David says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I'm open. I want to receive what you have for me." What about that famous verse found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6? It was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And that verse is for us today. "In all your ways, acknowledge him and what will happen. He may?" No, he will direct our paths. How did Isaiah respond to God's call upon his life? Just look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and he says, "Here am I. Send me. I'm willing. I'm open to whatever you might lead." The Apostle Paul asked this very pertinent question in Acts 22, verse 10. He said, "What shall I do, Lord?" He's in the spot. He didn't know. You see, all of these verses lead us to a crucial principle for discovering God's will, which is underscored. Guidable people always receive guidance from God. Do you know that? Guidable people always receive guidance from God. Why is that? It's because God will always speak loud enough for a willing ear to hear. Therefore, there is nothing more important than being open to receive from God.
Amen.
That guidance. How will you find the guidance that you need? In one sense, that's a tough question, because God speaks to us in a variety of different ways. What are those ways? Well, you may speak through a sermon. You may speak by when you read a passage of Scripture that during your daily devotions. That may happen by receiving advice from some good Christian friends. Maybe by feeling some inner sense of direction, by having doors of opportunity open or have them closed. Now, there is a marvelous passage of Scripture that is found in Acts chapter 16. I want you to turn there. Acts chapter 16. That I believe pictures for us some of the major ways in which God guides his children. It's exciting, this passage of Scripture. You may have read it before, but never thought of it in this way. Acts 7, in chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, tells the story of how Paul and Silas discovered God's will for their lives. It happened at the beginning of their second missionary journey. Do you remember they had joined forces to continue to visit some of the churches they had developed on their first missionary journey? They faithfully preached the word, and they did whatever they could to strengthen the saints along the way. And as we shall see, their travel plans changed several times. Luke paints the picture for us in these five very insightful verses. I want you to know them. Paul and his companions, the verse goes on to say, traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do so. So they passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing there, and he's begging him. He said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us. We need your help." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel there. You need to read that text 150 times, and you might say to yourself, "I don't see anything in there about discovering the will of God." Yet this little slice of life from the first century shows us how God's will can be discovered. You see, what happened to them often happens how does guidance come? This text reveals four answers to that question. Give me one, John. Four answers to the question. Answer number one. Guidance comes through obedience in the ordinary. Guidance comes through obedience in the ordinary. Notice Acts 16:6 tells us how Paul was guided. It says, he and his companions passed through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Please know, Paul was on a mission from God. And that mission was to preach the gospel. That was the one motivating factor that explained his life. It was his normal day-to-day life. That's why he made one hazardous journey after another. He determined to go wherever he could to spread the good news. The only thing that Paul didn't know was exactly where he was going to do it. He needed to receive guidance about where to preach. He didn't need to because he already knew, not whether to preach. He would continue preaching wherever he found himself. That leads us to the following profound insight. Life is made up of the ordinary. Just the same old stuff day after day. Get up in the morning, take a shower, put on your clothes, eat breakfast, go to work, come back from work, read the paper, watch TV, eat supper, flop into bed dead tired, get up the next morning and do the same thing all over again. That's the way life often is. The same old thing day after day. Where do you begin to discover the will of God? You begin by doing what you already know to be the will of God as a Christian in your present situation. You see, so many of us live for those mountaintop experiences. Those times when, you know, the clouds part and God seems to be oh so close to us. Many people wish those spectacular moments would happen every single day. Often when we say, God, show me your will, what we really mean is, Lord, give me some feeling, some insight, some spiritual revelation. And God says, I've already shown you my will. Just get up and do it. Let me give you an example. What is God's will for a student? God's will for a student is to do his or her homework and to do it to the best of his or her ability. That's the starting point. What's God's will for a doctor? Go to the office, go to the hospital, and faithfully perform his duties. Studying. What's God's will for a pharmacist? Take extra care to fill out those prescriptions. What's God's will for the banker? Care of the money entrusted to him. What's God's will for an accountant to take care of those books and do the job right? What's God's will for a teacher? Do the lesson plan, come to class ready to teach the lesson the best way possible. What's God's will for a salesman? Know your product, make your contacts, move the merchandise in a proper manner. What's God's will for the assembly line worker? Show up, be sober, have a good attitude, be ready to work. If you're a young mother and want to know what God's will is, it often has something to do with dirty diapers. God's will for young mothers is more than dirty diapers, but it's not less than that. God's will for a secretary is more than typing. It's not less than that. God's will for you is more than showing up and doing a good job. It's not less than that. However, many of us want to live on the mountaintop. But friends, that's not where you usually discover God's will. You discover it in the nitty-gritty of the valley every day. Now, reminds me of the Bible verse found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse, where it says this: whatever your hand finds to do, that's the rest of it, do it how? With all your might. Why should God show you His will for the future if you're not doing His will in the present? That's all important. What do preachers do? Well, one of the things they do, they preach. And that's what you see in Acts chapter 16. Preachers who are willing to preach any time they get the opportunity. They're looking for the right open door. Because they're willing to obey what they know to be the will of God for them at that time, God is therefore free to show them what? Next step. The next step. This passage reveals a second principle about how guidance comes to us. Answer number two: guidance comes through sudden changing circumstances. We don't like that. It makes us uneasy. It really does. Paul and his team wanted to go east into Asia. The Holy Spirit prevented them. Question: how did the Holy Spirit do that? I have no idea. It could have been the result of a variety of circumstances preventing them. Perhaps the road was washed out, or perhaps there was Jewish opposition, so they couldn't get in. The Holy Spirit could have communicated through an inner impression or even a voice from God. The prophet might have delivered the message. No one knows what happened, but somehow they knew that they were not to go east. They thought, well, who are they going? Toward within. Why? Still intended to preach the gospel. They still had the same purpose. Only now it's redirected through sudden changing circumstances. But as they tried to enter Bithynia, guess what happened? The Spirit of God did not know how. Mystery. So then they decided to head west and to a place called Troas. See, what's going on here? God was revealing His will through sudden changing circumstances. Never had that happen to you? I have. On different occasions. You have your life all planned out. You're going this way and because you thought that maybe this was God's way for you. Then you get a phone call. A phone call changes the course of your life from that moment onward. Or the boss calls you in and he says, sorry, we're downsizing, your job has just been approved. Or the letter came that said, you're an excellent candidate, but unfortunately our incoming class is full. Or you asked her to marry you, believing it was the will of God, but she hasn't discovered it yet. And so she says to you, no. Or perhaps the investment you counted on for retirement didn't come through. Or you got a disease like cancer. And suddenly, change in circumstances. And when that happens, we think something terrible has gone wrong in the universe. It wasn't supposed to happen this way. I find that Proverbs 16:9 is one of the most profound verses in all the Bible. Would you listen to it? We can make our plans. The Lord determines our steps. That's what the Bible says. You make your plans as a Christian, but God determines which way you're going to go. Suppose you say, I'm going to go to Bithynia because they need the gospel, and suppose God wants you instead to go west to Troas. So even though you wanted to go north, there's no route that way, you got to go west. That's what happened to the apostle. That's what I mean by sudden changing circumstances. Proverbs 16:9 tells us that such things don't happen by chance. It never does when it's for the people of God. Who is it that opens the doors? It's God, isn't it? Who is it that shuts the doors? It's God. Who gives opportunities? God does. And it's God who sometimes takes them away. He's the one, friends, who's in charge of our lives as a Christian. He's in charge. Sometimes His will is seen by nothing more profound than sudden changing circumstances. There's a third principle we must consider when seeking guidance from God. Answer number three. Guidance comes through supernatural events. This happened in Troas. See, when they got to the seaport town, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Where was Paul? Where was Paul? He was in Troas. You see that on the screen, the next slide. Troas, present day Turkey. See that map there? Turkey, of course, was in Asia, but Macedonia was in Greece, the continent of Europe. In between, what is in between? The Aegean Sea. What's the significance of the man speaking from Macedonia? You see, if Paul goes to Macedonia, he's taking the gospel from one continent to another. That represents a major historic expansion for the Christian faith. From the moment Paul stepped on Macedonian soil, Christianity was no longer an Eastern religion. You see, sometimes God speaks through dreams, through visions, and supernatural signs. I don't think it happens all the time, and I don't think we should demand such signs from the Lord. But God can do it. And that's what he did here in this situation. It was a vision. And the vision was in line with the Great Commission to take the gospel to the whole world. This dream was completely compatible with the Word of God and with Paul's previous experience. Answer number four. Guidance comes through wise counsel joined with common sense. Acts chapter 16, verse 10 reveals the final principle of God's guidance. Notice what it says in this verse. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want you to take a look at the word concluding. Concluding means to discuss the matter with other people. It means to debate the alternatives. It means to figure out the best way to go. And then come to a final conclusion. It's a word that implies the strategic use of the gray matter. It's what happens when you put a puzzle together. You put the pieces together to make it all fit. We did the line like turn. Often is a puzzle to me because I can't get all the pieces together. This particular Greek word for concluding was used for taking different colors of thread and putting them together to make a beautiful pattern. Paul and Silas and Timothy talked it over. They discussed everything that had happened in their lives. Where they had come from, where they couldn't go, and talked about the open door and the vision of the man from Macedonia. And when they put it all together, they concluded that God wanted them to go to Macedonia. That's the final way that guidance comes. Through wise counsel, simple, plain, ordinary, garden variety, common sense. Notice that once they figured out God's will, what did they do? They immediately did it. Once you've determined the will of God, what's the next step? Do it. Once you've figured it out, don't sit around and talk about it anymore. Get up and do it. Why were they so quick to do it? Because God had told them what to do. He had told them how to do it, and now he's told them where to do it. That brings us full circle, doesn't it? Brings us back to where we started. It brings us back to the ordinary affairs of life. You see, the reason they went in the first place was because of obedience in the ordinary. Because they were so committed to doing God's will, they weren't blown away by a vision. They just fit it into the big picture and said, okay, that's where we're going. And off they went. And when they went to Macedonia, did they know what was going to happen? Did the Apostle Paul know in advance who was going to be there to meet him? Or what the outcome of the trip might be? No. No. When you decide to do the will of God, were you know in advance what the results will be? No. Why? Because though God shows us his will, he doesn't show us the big picture. What does he show us? The next step. The next step. How does God reveal his will to us? Step. Like most pastors, I've moved more than once. Looking back, I can see God's hand clearly at work in each circumstance, partly by nudging me in the right direction through the urging of the Holy Spirit, partly through the advice of friends and through much prayer, and very much through the outworking of the ordinary circumstances of life. It was a slow unveiling of God's will. One step, followed by another step, followed by another step, followed by another step. Friends, there are no accidents in life for the Christian. No accidents. No random events. No such thing as luck. You know something? The words luck and lucky shouldn't even be in the Christian's vocabulary. Even seemingly meaningless things fit into God's plan. Because that is true, you can trust him to give you whatever wisdom you need to make wise decisions and to bring about proper outcomes so that you can do his will each day of your life. The same goes with the local church. The most important factor in discerning God's will, however, is this: guide ability. Remember what it says in Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? As you delight yourself in the Lord, his desires are going to become your desires. You're going to be changed on the inside, so the things that you really want are the things that God really wants for you. Can you discover God's will for your life? Can a church discover God's will for his life? Praise God, the answer is yes. How do you discover God's will? You do it the same way the people of God have always discovered his will. Step by step by step. God has promised to guide you on your journey through life. You can depend on that. God has said he will be your guide even to the end. He's promised. I want to close my message today by giving you seven questions that I believe we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis. Here's the first one. Am I open to whatever the Lord may want? Or am I so set in my ways that what I'm rarely saying is, Lord, guide me as long as it's where I want to go, what I want to do? Am I in a place of complete availability? That's the first question we need to do. As a church, we need to ask the same question. As a church, are we in a place of being willing to be God who wants to Number two, have I studied this issue thoroughly? We need to use our minds to do this. Write down the pros and the cons. Make a list. Take notes. Research the question thoroughly. Study the decision from every possible angle. Number three, have I sought wise counsel? In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Many stupid decisions would be avoided if only we dared to ask advice from the appropriate sources. Number four, do the circumstances point in one particular direction? Sometimes God reveals His will by opening one door and shutting another. Number five, has there been supernatural guidance? That won't always happen. But sometimes there will be circumstances that seem to be supernatural movements of God. And we do need to bring that all into the mix. Number six, am I willing to take the next step? This is scripture because God most often will show us the next step and He won't show us anything more. But He won't show us the next step if He knows we're going to reject it. Number seven, am I willing to do God's will with our regard to the consequences? He knows this is what God wants us to do. He knows we're going to be bothered. We're going to be scared. He knows what He is all. So, can you discover God's will for your life? Praise God. The answer is an emphatic yes. How? You discover God's will today the same way the people of God have always discovered His will. Repeat it again. Step by step. By step. But you must be open to change in direction. You must be pliable. You must be bendable like soft Play-Doh. Not stuck in your ways like hard Play-Doh. If we are truly willing to be guidable, God has promised He will guide us. We can depend on it. You see, our trust is in the great faithfulness of our Almighty God. He has said He will be our guide even to the